Good evening. If you'd take your Bibles and open with me to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, we're going to look at the call of Abraham, the beginning of the Abrahamic covenant here in Genesis 12 tonight. And I hope and I pray that you all have been able to stay warm in this cold weather. And this Georgia boy's struggling right now, I'm not going to lie. I'm looking forward to spring very, very much, but trying to enjoy the blessings God gives us in each of the different seasons that He blesses us with and how each of them bring Him honor and glory. But last week, Pastor Dan began a new series titled God of Our Fathers, which will serve a bit as a continuation of the series that he preached on Sunday morning on Genesis 1 through 11 called Firm Foundations some time ago. Although we're not going to cover every detail in Genesis chapters 12 through 50, we're going to be highlighting some of the most important events in those chapters and in the lives of the patriarchs of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and as well as Joseph. I asked Pastor Dan a question today. It's like, why didn't Joseph get included in that? Because we think about Genesis, there's a lot devoted to him, but I think there's some good reasons why God didn't. But just a question I had, and hopeful that Pastor Dan will answer that question for me sometime down the road. But last week, Pastor Dan highlighted the fact that one of the names of God that's used to identify him as God was the name, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Last week, Pastor Dan explained the beginning of Genesis. We see the term El or Elohim used very often to describe God and to reference Him. And that name appears nearly 2,600 times. And this God, Elohim, who created the world by His power and His majesty back in Genesis 1 and 2, used His power, His knowledge, His wisdom. This same God is also called the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob throughout much of the Old Testament and throughout Scripture. Last week, Pastor Dan showed us the source of this name is first seen in Exodus chapter 3, verse 6, when God calls out to Moses from the burning bush. The bush is there, it's burning, but it's not consumed. And Moses goes up to this bush to see what's happening, what's going on. And God calls to Moses saying, "Moses, Moses," to which Moses replies, "Here I am." And then God tells Moses to take off his sandals because the place where he's standing is holy ground. He was in the presence of God himself. And God goes on to say, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." So why does God use that name? Why is that used throughout Scripture? What can we learn from that as we think? Why is that such an important thing? Pastor Dan also explained the reason for the sequence of this name. And he quoted a writer who said, "Abraham represents the birth of the promise, the Abrahamic promise that God would give them a nation, that He'd make make him great, his people great, that He would give him a land, and that all the peoples of the earth would be blessed through him." So that's the birth of the promise. Then Isaac represents the bridge of the promise, and Jacob represents the building of that promise with his 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Israel. It was Jacob who gave birth to those 12 sons who were the fathers of the tribes of Israel. And the covenant-making God is also a covenant-keeping God. We see in Genesis 15 that God makes this covenant with Abraham. And then we see that God keeps that covenant throughout the ages. This multi-generational promise, this covenant, continues to this day. And you and I are here today, tonight, because of this promise given to Abraham thousands of years ago. We are blessed by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because through His family, through His nation, came Jesus, who saved us from our sin. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob blessed all the nations of the earth, ultimately, through the birth, through the life, through the death, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who provides salvation for mankind. So their God is also our God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is also our God. So the same God that made that promise to Abraham is still keeping His promises to us tonight. What a wonderful truth for us to hold on to and to worship God. Pastor Dan also looked at the significance of that name, which is tied to the sequence of the name. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and His promise to Abraham that we'll look at tonight, blesses all the families of the earth. We are blessed because of the promise that God made to Abraham in Genesis 12. And again, it's reaffirmed multiple times throughout Genesis. It's kept by God, and now you and I are benefactors because of God's promise to Abraham. As Pastor Dan said last week, even as we were singing about tonight, about how we are blessed, we're reminded that God is faithful, that He gives us so many blessings, physical blessings, yes, but most importantly, as Pastor John even prayed a little while ago, we are blessed with so many different spiritual blessings as well. Great is Thy faithfulness. So tonight we'll look at God's promise to Abraham that began way back in Genesis chapter 11 and into Genesis chapter 12. But regarding this passage, the Gordon Wenham's commentary on Genesis, he writes this, and I really appreciated what he wrote here. Said, within the book of Genesis, no section is more significant than Genesis 11:27 through 12 verse 9. It serves both as an introduction to and summary of Abraham's career. It looks forward to the later patriarchs and beyond them to the nation of Israel and the Davidic monarchy and the great nation that will inherit the land of Canaan. It also looks back to the primeval history, announcing the divine intervention that will bring blessings to all the families of the world, whose history hitherto has been overshadowed by divine judgments from Eden to the flood to Babel, but in Abraham, all the nations of the world will find blessing. Abraham's obedience to the divine call, forsaking his homeland and family for the worship of the Lord in the land of promise, stands as an example and an incentive to all his descendants to follow suit. This will bring blessing on themselves and to the world. So let's begin tonight by actually reading here in Genesis chapter 11, verses 27 through 32. We said, now these are the generations of Terah. Terah fathered Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran fathered Lot. Haran died in the presence of his father Terah in the land of Kindred in Ur of the Chaldeans. And Abraham and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and Iscah. Now Sarai was barren, she had no child. Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, and his son Abram's wife. And they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. So we see here that Abram is one of the sons of Terah who goes out to, who sets out to go to the land of Canaan. In 31 of chapter 11, we see that Terah actually left his homeland with the intention of going to the land of Canaan. But they come across the city of Haran and they decide to settle there. And we see in verse 31, it says, but when they came to Haran, they settled there. They settled down. They made a life for themselves. They began raising their family and settling into life there. We don't exactly know all the reasons why Terah did this, but it is significant that earlier in Genesis 11, we see the Tower of Babel. We see the list of the nations there in Genesis chapter 10. So no doubt this very well may have been in response to some of the events there with the Tower of Babel. But Terah's original plan is go to the land of Canaan, but he settles in Haran, and he eventually even dies there. So after the death of Abram's father, we see God come to Abram, and we see him place a call upon Abram and upon his life. Also, it's very important for us to know that this is Abram is still going by the name Abram, which means exalted father. It won't be until Genesis chapter 17 where God reaffirms his promise to Abram and his call in Abram's life that God changes his name to Abraham, which means a father of a multitude. So now in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, it says, now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So here we see that God tells Abram to go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. This Hebrew word for go here, the verb is halak, which means to go, and it's in the imperative. It is a command from God to go. It should remind us of the Great Commission in Matthew 28, right? To go and to make disciples. The imperative there is to make disciples, and we're to do that as we go. We're to go and make disciples. And he tells Abram to go so that he can be one who blesses, who makes great, who brings cursing upon those who do not bless his offspring, and who he can, others, everybody else in the world can be blessed through him. Abram is to leave his country where he is settled, where he lived with his father. He's to leave his kindred, his father's house, everything he knows. He's to leave the language, the land, the culture that he's familiar with, where he has settled in and lived his life. He's to leave all his family and his friends, everyone who knew him and his family, and go to the land that the Lord will show him. As I was reading and studying this again the last couple of days, just reminded of the command for us to go and to make disciples. As we pray for our missionaries tonight, as we think about our missionaries out across the world today, so many of them have counted that cost. They have heard that call from God in their own lives to go and to make disciples. But we also have been given that command, and we are to obey that command. But there is a cost to our obedience. It cost Abram here. He had to leave everything, his family, his friends, everything he loved, everything he felt connected to, important relationships in his life. He had to leave all of these. When we think about our missionaries, let's stop and put ourselves in their shoes. They've left mom and dad, aunts and uncles, cousins, all of that to go and to be obedient to the gospel. There's a great cost to being obedient, but there is a great reward and blessing, as we will see, as we seek to obey God when He calls us and tells us to go. Think about the Richardsons. They were able to move haven't put an update out about this, but they have been able to move from France to England this past week. So they are there in England, safe and sound, and so they are doing well. But here they left the United States and the Bluefield Princeton area, where they were known and loved and cared for, to go to France. And there in France, they've moved around different times and had to be uprooted. And their family had a place where they had lived and where people knew them and they were loved and they were serving and ministering, only to be called by God to now uproot again to go to England. Let's continue to remember to pray for them and many other of our missionaries who have all counted this cost and been willing to obey God and to go. But here in this passage, he says, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And if he does this, the result of that will first be that I will make of you a great nation. From Abram would come the nation of Israel. From Abram would come Isaac, Jacob, the 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Israel. Can you imagine what this was like for Abram to hear? That from him, from his descendants, would come a great nation. And he's 75 years old at the time. So from him is going to come a great nation. That must have been a shocker to hear. Can you imagine what he thought of? How he imagined that playing out? There's no way he could have known all that God would do. But here God had called him to go. And God was going to make of him a great nation. And a nation is a political unit. A good definition of a nation is a political unit with a common land, language, and government. And that would all come from Abram. And in Wyndham's commentary, he says, a large population, a large territory, and spiritual character make a nation great. And that is true of Israel today and has been throughout much of history. A large population, a large territory, and the spiritual character make a nation great. Thus, this very first word to Abraham encapsulates the full range of divine promises consequently made to him. So he says, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great. When he says this, it's hard for us to see in our English translations, but he uses a little bit of a pun, a little bit of play on words here as he uses that term, I will bless you and make your name great. It would have rhymed a little bit with the name of Abraham. But this word blessing here means God's blessing would have been most obviously manifested in human prosperity and well-being. We think oftentimes in the church of the spiritual blessings, but as he said this to Abram here in verse 2, I will bless you and make your name great. There's no doubt that there are some physical blessing, physical prosperity that is promised to Abram and to his offspring. Long life, wealth, peace, good harvest, children, families, things like this. These would be blessings that God is promising to Abram as he tells him he's going to make of him a great nation. He's going to bless him and make his name great. Everybody else would have wanted this. Everybody living at this time would have wanted this. Even today, we want physical blessing, prosperity. But God promised this to Abram and to his offspring. And why did he do all this? He said, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. The Israelites would be a blessing to others. And they have been all throughout history. As we think about some of the biblical examples of this, we think about Daniel and his three friends, how they blessed the nations and the kings under which they served. We think about all the places where the Israelites were taken, even when they were spread out because of their disobedience, and how those nations thrived and were blessed. Then he goes on into verse 3, as God is speaking to Abraham here, and he says, he says, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. This was a pretty big deal, a very important promise that God was making here to Abram. If others, other nations, other people blessed Abram, then they also would be blessed. And we see this and we realize this even today. As people bless the nation of Israel, bless God's people, there is people reciprocate that. They receive blessing from the people of God. But if they curse, or even here it says, not even curse, it says to dishonor, which also means to disdain, to even speak badly upon, that God would curse these people. And we see this throughout history as well. We think about the book of Esther and Haman, his attack against the Israelites and how God protected the Israelites and provided for them. We think also of things within relatively modern history, things such as the Holocaust and the Nazis and their attack against the Israelites and the people of God, and how God blessed the people of Israel even through that and saw them through very hard in difficult times. But he goes on in verse 3, he says, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Ultimately, every family of the earth has the opportunity to be blessed through the gospel, right? We know that every person can be blessed through the gospel. And if you all will turn with me quickly to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. A very familiar passage, but a very important passage. Beginning in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, it says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. We stop when we think about this. All the nations, all the families, all the peoples of the earth can be blessed through Abram and through the promise God gave to him, ultimately through Jesus Christ who came, who lived a perfect sinless life, who went to the cross and died on the cross for our sins, was buried and rose again the third day. And so now you and I are to be out faithfully sharing the gospel. God has obviously placed each one of us here in Princeton or surrounding areas here around Princeton to go and to tell all the families of the earth about the gospel. About the good news of Jesus Christ and how they can receive forgiveness of sins. Then when we stop and we look back at the larger picture of the world, over 3 billion people that need to hear the gospel, that don't know Jesus Christ. And God may not have called you or me to go to the ends of the earth, but He has called us to do that right here, where we are at today, tonight. Whatever job you have, your family, your friends, your street, where we live, we are to be blessing the families of the earth by sharing the gospel. And I don't know about you all, but as I've considered things in my own life going into this new year, it's very easy for me to become stale, to become so busy in my life that I forget of the spiritual needs of those around me. And the opportunities God gives me in my day-to-day interactions to build a friendship, to continue a friendship, and to have the boldness and the courage to have a spiritual conversation, to tell someone about the Lord. And I'm afraid in my life and the life of the church, oftentimes we're far too quiet and shy and afraid to boldly share our faith. But God wants all the families of the earth to be blessed through Him by hearing this gospel and responding to it in faith. And the only job you and I have is to love them and tell them. And God does the work in their hearts. And then as we think even in this next business meeting about missions and missionaries and our missions budget, we have a responsibility to do that right here where we're at. But over 3 billion people have not heard the good news of Jesus Christ. They don't know Him. They've grown up in lands where they hear about the God of Islam or Buddha, or they worship other gods. They worship animals and things of the earth. They grow up in an animistic culture. It's our responsibility to go to them. Just like Abraham left, it is our responsibility to go to them, to send people. We have our Go Fund. Let's be praying. Let's be giving that God would raise up missionaries from within our church to go to these people. Let's remember to pray for that and to seek to see that happen. So then back in Genesis chapter 12, we see again, He says, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So verse 4, we see the obedience of Abraham. We saw the call of Abram. Now we see the obedience of Abram. In the first 3 words of verse 4, so Abram went. He went. And the next few words there tell us, as the Lord had told him. What God told him to do, he simply obeyed. What God has called us to do, where He has called us to go, we need to simply obey. What did he do? So Abram went as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. I'm not going to dig deep into this. Some people debate whether he was obedient to leave his family and stuff when he took Lot with him. I don't know. I've read lots of people on both sides of this issue. Some people say he was obedient. Some people say he was disobedient. I'm not really 100% sure. I think I lean towards him being disobedient and taking Lot with him because of some of the consequences we see of that later in Abram's life. But again, I'm not sure. I'm not going to condemn him for taking his nephew Lot, who was very, very close to him probably at this point in time in his life. But that's another thing for another day. But there it tells us. In verse 5 it says, and Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. We have a map I'd like to put up here behind me. I don't think it's great for you guys to see. I apologize. I was hoping it'd turn up a little bit better. Alright, so right here where my little red dot is, that's Ur, where they started, and they went up to Haran. That's where they went next, and where they settled as a family, and then God called Abram to leave Haran, where his family had settled, and to begin going to the land of Canaan. And so we see, where'd they go? They went down here to Shechem is the first place that the verses tell us. They went down here to Shechem, and we see that in verse 6. It says, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem to the oak of Moreh at the time the Canaanites were in the land. So it's important for us to see that he's leaving Haran, he's going, he's taking his family, all his things, and he's being obedient to the Lord. He's going down here to Shechem. So he is now in the land of Canaan. He's in that land that God was going to show him, that God had promised to him. And it's very likely there, as he goes to this oak, that this would be a common place back in those days for people to go to worship because of the practicality of it, the shade and the landmark that an oak tree would possibly provide. So Abram goes there to this place. And then we see at this oak in verse 7, the Lord appeared to Abram. And he tells Abram, to your offspring, I will give this land. This is the land of Canaan that I am promising to give you and to give to your offspring. So what does Abram do there? He responds to the Lord by worshiping him. He says, so he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. So he spends some time there in Shechem. He worships the Lord. He's seeing that he's receiving the promise that God has given to him. But then he goes on, if you'll put the map back up, please, sir. He leaves Shechem and he goes down here to Bethel. All right. And so we see that he goes down there to Bethel, to the hill country on the east side of Bethel. And there he pitches his tent. And when he does that, that's saying he settles down there for a period of time and lives in the region, the area, those hills east of Bethel. And then he goes on to Ai, which is not here on our map, but not too far from there. He goes to Ai on the east, and eventually he journeys on down into the Negev. And eventually, as we'll see later, he ends up over in Egypt. So as Abram obeyed God, he got to see at least the borders, most of the borders of the area that God had promised him. He started up here in Haran, and he comes down into the land of Canaan and sees most of that land of Canaan that God promised to give to him, to make a great land, a great nation of him. And I hope that's an encouragement to you today. As I saw that today, it really just made the passage come alive. Here's the land that God had promised to Abram that he got to see. He got to see the boundaries of it. And so why is all this important? Because God made a promise to Abram here. He says, I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And God kept that promise. And Abram got to see just a little bit of a taste of it. This land that God had promised to him. He got to see just a portion of it, and some of the boundaries of it. But God would be God would be faithful. He would be that God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob who would give to them what he had promised. What a wonderful God he truly is. So let's close with a word of prayer this evening. Father in heaven, we thank you that you are a good God, that you are a faithful God. You are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Lord, thank you for the promise that you gave to Abraham those many years ago to make of him a great nation, to bless him and to make his name great, to bless those who bless him and his descendants, and Lord, to punish, to curse those who dishonor him. And Lord, we thank you most of all that all the families of the earth are blessed through you, through the gift of your Son, through the salvation that he has brought to us by coming and living a perfect, sinless life, by dying on the cross willingly for our sins, being buried and rising again. Lord, just as Abram obeyed that command, that imperative to go, and then he went, Lord, may we be willing to go. Whether that's to a family member, to a neighbor across the street, to a co-worker, may we as a church continue to have boldness in the heart and a passion to reach out and to love people, to tell them about you. Lord, may we not keep our mouths closed May we not be afraid. May we not be worried. But Lord, may we boldly and confidently share the gospel. And Lord, may you use us as your vessels to see others, all the families of the earth, blessed by the promise you gave to Abram as we faithfully proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. We pray and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.